You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. A reminder that you want to watch games Saturday. We got Army-Navy, right, coming up Saturday?
Yeah, I actually hosted an Army-Navy event at a local brewery.
Yeah.
It was actually a lot of fun. Because there's an Army contingency, there's a Navy. It was a lot of fun, man. It's a really good natured thing between the two sides, but they really are into it. And we have that, and it gets to stand alone. I say stand alone. There's got to be some FCS playoff games or something going on.
Yeah, probably. But that's basically the day. It's such a great game, But I was suggesting that you go and. Okay, if you're Army or Navy, whatever you are, go to Damaris Barbecue and eat all you can eat ribs on Saturday and watch the game. All you can eat ribs.
Is that every day? Is it all you can eat every day or is there a certain day?
Every Saturday.
Every Saturday, okay.
All you can eat
I'm
ribs.
I'm not worried about you, John.
No, I'm not.
That's what Yanni says that one time. I'm not too worried about you, John.
Right, he's not worried about me. And all he can, I'll eat all his ribs. I'll eat them all.
Eat them all.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'll do. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Oh, the Dodgers. Not only are they going after Scooble, they got Edwin Diaz. Oh, good for them. Major League Baseball is broke. It is broke. Okay? It just throw everybody, every great player, every single one of them at the Dodgers. That's just great. That's just good for the game. Good for the game. Nice job. The worst commissioner, other than college football, the worst commissioner in sports.
Supposedly,
in reality, he's the worst. Manfred's the worst.
I don't mind it, honestly.
Yeah, because it makes me nuts.
No, I don't think about you that much. I don't mind it. I mean, The Dodgers did everything they could to have a great roster, and they needed a miracle to win against the Blue Jays. I don't mind
an actual miracle.
They needed a miracle to win that series. They got pushed to the brink. I'm not as upset about it. I feel like they will continue to be challenged. It wasn't easy last year. I don't think it'll be easy coming up. Yes, it feels unfair. But you know
thank
what?
Thank God they got their hands on Edwin Diaz, though.
Yeah, thank God.
I'm glad they have a reliable closer.
Yeah. No, thank God. Thank God.
The world's better when the Dodgers are cheating.
Yeah.
The
Dodgers are winning. This is like what people felt in the 50s about the Yankees.
Lance just turned off the lights, which turns off the camera. You know, Lance, you're doing that effect for no one but you, because now that you turn the lights
now
off,
no one can see.
Turns the camera off, too?
Yes.
I was turning the lights on and off like they do when the stadium.
Now look at it.
And now I have to fix
the camera.
Now
you have to reboot it. Nice job, Lance.
Except it doesn't go on and off. Well, we don't have a light in this room. We don't have lights in this room.
We don't have anyone. Power strip.
And we don't have anyone intelligent in there
either.
Oh,
yeah, it's all jacked up now.
Yeah, he's been sitting in that studio for the better part of...
Sometimes I'm a problem.
That's been set up that way for years, and he still doesn't know that you can't turn off the switch just to make an effect for, like, the 140 people we're watching on.
Nice job.
And you ruined it for them, too.
Yeah, I did. I actually did.
Yeah, you kind of did. Now we see an empty chair with all...
But I'm actually here.
Yeah.
Or am I?
Now Dell can't go to the phones, okay?
And there's somebody on the phone who wants to talk about money to players. Oh, it's Chris in the Woodlands.
Yeah.
Let's get him Nah, we got to save it to the other side. We're too far.
I combine.
No, you combine.
Oh, you'll combine? Okay.
I already
did.
Chris in the Woodlands. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? I try to be thoughtful about my questions. And Lance, when you brought up how the players are getting paid and things like that, yesterday I asked about what college bowl games might look like in a few years. And John, I know you had a son that played college football. When you talk about street free agents, can you like maybe tell, maybe educate me or maybe there's others out there, what does it look like when somebody's a 3 or 4 star and say a junior or senior, they're getting recruited by Baylor, by Tech, maybe by U of H. How do they go about knowing what their revenue share is going to be from each school as far as, like, dollars? And then how do they ask for money? Like, what does all that look like? I know you have a son that also is at Alabama. Without getting into too much detail, like, what does that look like for us common folk that don't know how these players
it's really
negotiate
simple.
And how they hop around?
Yeah, it's a good question. So it's really simple. So these schools now have become they're much better than they were when they were just guessing last year. They are now setting numbers per position. So, like, the quarterback position, it's kind of a set-aside, but they'll say running backs get 14%. Offensive, so tackles get a certain percent. Guards and centers get a certain percent of the total number. So it's done on a percentage basis. Cornerbacks, 12%. Linebackers, 10%. And so then, so they get a percentage of the revenue share, and then that's the position group. And then they'll change it by, you know, they'll kind of assign each player inside that position group a certain number. They said, this is what we're willing to pay you. So they do that. The problem comes with renegotiations at the end of the year. So I talked to one team who didn't want to name one of their players a special teams player of the year because they knew that it was his agent was going to come and ask for a lot more money. And the kid got in the transfer portal anyway and left. He was a really good player. So that's how it's working, is they have percentages, and then if the player needs to make more money than that, they go to their NIL and say, we got to find NIL deals, and that supplements the income. So that's how they're doing it now, is it's based on percentages. Some teams will pay running backs different, they'll pay tackles different, and that's when you start. And then so if a team is going to lose their offensive tackle, they kind of get permission to either alter the revenue share or find more NIL for that player so that they don't lose that player. Like SMU told me, their O-line coach told me, we don't pay for freshmen. We don't pay for high school players. We're paying to keep. We want to get guys in, but we're going to pay to keep our roster, and we don't want any incoming freshmen to be paid more than one of the guys who's a returning starter. It's a bad look, and it sets a bad precedent in the locker room. On rare occasions, but they said they will at SMU, they will never have a recruit come in as the highest paid offensive lineman. And that's their thing. Texas Tech paid a ton for a portal in. Was this a 5-star freshman? Yeah, 5-star freshman. They paid a ton for their starting tackle.
Yeah. It's exactly 10 years ago that JT was being recruited and had offers. I don't know what he would have been worth. He was, as far as
he got some money though.
He would have got money. Yeah. No, he was.
Cole Ballard gets money.
What's the guy who puts out the high school? He was the second quarterback in Houston.
Not
Derek King. Derek King was one, and he was two. You know, the guy who's done it for 1,000 years. Dave Campbell.
Oh, okay,
Dave Campbell. Yeah. All right, 713. I wish, man, he'd have some cash. That'd be so totally sweet.
It may not have been a ton, but it's money. Like, I say may not have been a ton. If he gets $40,000, that's $40,000 for a college kid.
Yeah, are you kidding?
Kidding me? And that's small. Like, yeah. Ballard's son, Cole Ballard, is a backup at Kansas. He gets money. He got offered a pretty good transfer. he sits behind Jalen Daniels the whole time, and I'm like, why didn't he transfer? He said he just wants to finish what he started. And,
good for him.
You know, that's good for him. He's not going to play till his last year. But
oh, well, it's good for him. Yeah, it would have been. It sure would have been nice. I mean, maybe I could go like Big Philly and have another kid.
That's something you
could
do. I
gotta talk Wendy into this one.
Yeah,
you know, get
knock
a little cash.
Yourself out.
Yeah, we can put
you
out.
Can try, but you ain't gonna be around in 18 years to take advantage of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Nah. Well, but it'll set him up in 18 years. You know what they're gonna be paying these kids?
Yeah, he'll be set up. What's that
he'll
got
be
to do
set
with
up
you?
Forever. You've I don't have to do nothing.
You have showed us and told us you don't really care about the future. Anytime something about the environment is brought up, you're like, I don't care. I'm not gonna be around.
I'm gonna be dead.
What do you care about? Millions going to someone you're not going to be able to
take advantage
of.
Well, it'll be my kid getting it. That's why I care about that.
The hypothetical kid that ain't even that you won't even be able to see get that money. I don't believe you.
Yeah. No. We're going to start. I'll start tonight.
I mean, there's some biology that has to be
looked
into.
Are we sure the biology works here on this one? Or you could adopt a really athletic kid.
Oh, what?
Ooh.
Adoption works.
Wendy
has
a Wendy.
Blindside.
Wendy could be a Tui.
Yeah, you can get a blindside
you know
kid. It's not bad to get a tackle.
You know that kid is like an AD somewhere
Austin
now?
Austin Deculus plays in the NFL.
The kid in that movie, well, he was a real-life person. That kid's an AD now.
What kid?
The little kid.
The kid who played it?
No, actual Tui kid. Is he? The real one. He's an actual AD now.
Oh, is he really? Athletic director?
Yeah, at a Louisiana school.
Not a college?
Yes.
Really?
Really? Oh, wow. A small school, obviously.
I don't remember. I mean, they're in the FBS, but I don't remember the...
Is he the one that gave Jimbo that contract? Scott, what is his name? Woodward?
S.J. Tui. He is the UL Monroe AD.
S.J. Tui.
Sean Tui Jr.
S.T.J.
Yeah, Sean Tui Jr.
Speaking of Louisiana, you got to. I told you about the Coach O sound where he walks in the front door, or walks in the back door. Now he can walk in the front door with the money. You got another one where he was recruiting Adrian Peterson.
This is wild.
This is good. This is really good. And this is Coach O on with the Barstool guys, and they had the recruiting story about Adrian Peterson.
Let me tell you the one I didn't get, Adrian Peterson. So Adrian went down there, a little East Texas place. He comes to USC, has a great visit, loves it, but Adrian said, Coach, I got a problem. And I know he don't mind me saying this, and I say it with utmost respect, because I love him. Coach, my daddy's incarcerated in Texarkana. Bob Stoops has already gone in there to see him. He said, Coach, y'all got to go see my dad, man. And if you can convince my dad to come to USC, I want to come. But there's another thing I need to talk to you about. So we tried to get into jail, but everybody else tried. They wouldn't let them do it. So I said, Adrian, what is the other thing we need to talk about? He goes, Coach, my dad will get to watch me play in Texarkana. They play Oklahoma games. He goes, I'm not going to Texas. I'm going to Oklahoma. I said, Adrian, if your daddy, if they showed them USC games over there, would you come? He said, Coach, I'd come tomorrow. If you promised me my daddy could see every one of my games. I went back to Los Angeles. I went to speak to the mayor. I went to speak to every influential person that I could talk to. And I tried to get Adrian's daddy transferred from Texarkana to Los Angeles jail, man. I tried. Man, I busted my butt. I couldn't do it, man. Just too many red tape.
Were you ever close?
No. No, they looked at me like, you can't do that, man.
Is that the greatest distance you've ever gone to try to get a player?
Yep, that was competing.
That is wild.
That is competing.
That is crazy.
He said that is competing.
Yeah, that's competing.
They're competing.
So, yeah, he told the story about how he got Joe Burrow, too. He said, they were at Mike Anderson's steakhouse, and he walked him outside. Joe, if I don't get you, I'm going to get fired, okay? I just want you to know that. If I don't get you, I'm going to get fired. If I get you, we're going to win the national championship. And Joe looked at him like, holy crap. When you tell a kid you're going to get fired if he don't get you, then, you know, now all of a sudden all that responsibility is on that kid. And he said, but you're going to compete. I got three guys, but you're better than all of them. He said, I didn't see 1 minute of Joe's tape. I have no idea. Had no idea how good he was. But I still told him he's better than all of them. And sure enough, Joe was better than all of them, and Joe won him a national title. Coach O is great. Coach O, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he isn't on Kiffin's staff.
I don't know if he would do that.
Why? He wants to get back into coach. He ain't getting no head coaching job.
I'll text right now and find out. I got his guy. I'll find out because he's trying to get in jobs, but he's not getting them.
He's still a wild one now. Now, Coach O had issues. He had demons. He had himself a good time.
My brother was at Nicholls State when Ed O basically was bottom of the barrel. He went to Nicholls State because Miami kicked him out because of his drinking and partying and
he was partying more than drinking.
He was fighting in bars, doing all that stuff, and he was at the bottom of the barrel, and he went to Nicholls because that was the only place that would have him. And Nicholls is South Louisiana, and my brother just knew him as Bebe Ogeron because they called him Bebe, and he is like, he was wild, but that's where his rehab started, where he rehabbed his image, rehabbed his life, everything rehab. And it's actually a pretty good redemption story.
It really is.
He really did hit the bottom.
No. I mean, there's probably a movie. By the way, they're making a doc about Shohei's interpreter. I'm surprised.
Oh, really? I would watch that one. That'd be a pretty good one.
I'm surprised it took this long for somebody to start on that. Yeah, it's that started up. But there's going to be a movie, a Coach O movie. I don't think there's any question where he was as low as you could get in the coaching ranks and then winning a national title. I don't think there's – I think that's absolutely a great redemption story that should be a movie. All right, 713-780.
Well, Coach O?
Yeah.
But you have to have – that has to be a documentary. Like, well, you can't have somebody play Ed O. I'm not watching somebody pretend to be Ed O.
Well
– it's just he's too big a personality. I couldn't – like now, if you had a bunch of footage and stuff from I would watch that. If you had a bunch of if you had old footage and how they pieced together stuff, like this Eddie Murphy documentary is a pretty good one on Netflix. If you haven't seen it yet,
yeah. Did you see the Charlie Sheen?
Not yet. Is it worth seeing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's
nice. I got the question.
Dude was not afraid. He is not afraid to do anything.
Oh, he had a run where he was an absolute psychopath when he was whacked out on coke.
At least coke.
I don't know what else. Yeah,
and then some.
Yeah, I figured.
And then, I mean, you want to see somebody who ain't afraid to do anything? It's Charlie Sheen. I'm not afraid to throw down some Coors Lights. I'm not ashamed, and I'm not afraid. It's what I do. It's what I love to do. We had the caller who dubbed himself Coors Light Trey or something, whatever his name was. I mean, I should be Coors Light Johnny instead of Johnny Wood. Come on. I mean, I love that. I love that I can go anywhere and I feel like, hey, Coors Light is everybody, I'm proud. I'm here and I'm proud and I'm a proud Coors Light drinker. And you know what? When I come back to Houston next week, you see me out and about, I'll buy you Coors Light. If I see you out and about, come on. And I ain't scared to buy you a Coors Light. I ain't scared to buy anybody a Coors Light. I love me some Coors Light. I have for years, and I'm going to continue my Coors Light crusade. That's what I call it. I'm keeping Texas chill as much as I possibly can, and I hope you do too. Make sure this holiday that you've got Coors Lights on hand for whoever stops by, family, friends, and you can all bond in one way. Cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Coors Light. Climb on, brother.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back. ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776.
I want to get in. I got a question for you two.
Well, I got a question for Coors Light Trey.
Oh, okay.
You're going to listen to Dell's show, really? You're going to be near that PO'd. All right, your buddy's named you Coors Light Trey. And I just said you named yourself, so yeah, you're going to listen to Dell's show? That's how you're going to punish yourself?
Punish you, apparently. The context is...
he's punishing himself.
Nah, he'll have a great time. The context is... Coors Light Trey called in during the break and took issue of John misrepresenting what happened. Coors Light Trey called in and told me that he didn't give himself that nickname. Mm-hmm. His buddies did for all the Coors Light he drinks. And he said in retribution, he'll stop listening to John and listen to me. Maybe under protest he'll do it, but he'll do it because John is lying on his name.
I'm not lying on his name.
No, you're actually lying on his name. Like, that is sometimes said, you know, as a metaphor. Mm-hmm. You are actually lying on his name.
No. Listen, I'm not lying on his name. I don't know how he got his name. He's claiming
that he didn't
name himself Coors Light Trey. That's fine. If that's what you are, that's fine. But I don't care how you got your name. You're Coors Light Trey. I want the name. That's what I want. I want it. Coors Light Johnny.
Does he have it trademarked?
I don't know. I think Coors Light Trey TM? I don't know.
Yeah, I think you can probably get it, John.
If you want to make Coors Light Trey pay for that, you can get that trademark.
Oh, are you going to try to sue him?
No, he gets a trademark, and anytime Coors Light Trey uses it, he's got to pay John some money.
Yeah, that's right. Every time you eat, Trey puts that out there.
Once again, another example, man of the people.
That's me. All right, what did you want to talk about?
I want to because we're at a point, and the Texans will be back at practice today. They're 8-5, and probably favored. John, you said earlier they're better than the next four teams they play. The Chargers, okay, whatever. We'll see in L.A. how tough that game is.
They beat their ass last time they played them. That's
a long time ago, but sure, I get your point. They tortured Justin Herbert, and his line isn't any better. So I understand what you're saying. What the expectations before the year were? What and how has the start and the bounce back changed them? Because you're bad early, but you bounce back and it's all good, all positivity. But before the year started, what did you think this team could accomplish? And if they don't reach that, is it what a remarkable turnaround, or are you still judging them by what you thought they could do?
So they're 8-5. They got a chance to be
12-5. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is probably better than you thought before the year.
Yeah, probably. I mean, what did we – I don't know. I forget.
Well, you're usually 15-2, but
– yeah, but I mean, really, I think I told her 11. Are they better right now than – okay, that's a good question. Are they better than we thought they were going to be?
The Texans?
Yeah.
No, not me.
You did have them being pretty good,
I had
right?
them 1-11.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Well, they're going to win 12.
No. They're winning out?
Possibly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Colts are wounded animal.
Yeah.
You have two. I mean, wow. They really are.
Who do they have?
And Chargers.
You know, the Vegas total on them was 9.
Yeah, they're better than that.
I thought they were better than that, but.
Was 9.5? I had them winning 11. I mean, but here's the thing is, listen. I'll tell you why I think that, yeah, they're better than I thought. You know why? Because because the Chiefs aren't involved anymore. Because the Ravens really aren't involved anymore. Because the Bills aren't as good.
Yeah,
as
the
we
win
thought.
Total is maybe a little skewed. I would say the win total makes it seem like they are, but maybe they're not better than we thought. They're not better than I thought. I thought the defense would be really good. I thought the offense would be better than this.
They got a chance.
But I expected Joe Mixon to play it.
No, here's the deal. They got a chance to do more right now than I thought before the season because the teams that they'll be playing in the postseason aren't as good.
But does that make them a better team?
I'd
say the situation.
It makes
easier.
Them being able to, I think, go further than I thought they
but
could
is
go.
There, that's right. But those are two different things to me. They're in a much more fortunate situation. I don't think their team is better than I thought it. I thought they would be able to run it better. I thought Mixon would play. I thought CJ would actually be a little better than this. Yes. They're not as good as I thought as a team, as an offense. They're as good defensively, maybe even a little better. But the situation got substantially easier when the Colts fell apart. And I thought the Colts would be a factor. But I thought the Texans would be the clear best team.
Well, taking the Chiefs out of this thing and the Ravens out of this thing?
Yeah.
I mean,
did you think
you beat a Bills team that was the Bills? It's not like you beat them without Josh Allen.
Yeah, their defense isn't great, but you dominated them defensively, although they play pretty well defensively here. But yeah, you beat the Bills and you do that at NRG. So as it stands now, they're going on the road to start the playoffs. The Jags, their schedule is home to the Jets, and the Jets pretty much have quit. At the Broncos, at the Colts, and Titans. We'll see if Phillip Rivers is playing for the Colts. I think the game that determines whether the Texans are playing at home and winning the division is can the Jags go into Denver and get a win? Because if they don't do that, as we laid out, they'd probably be tied at the top of the division. I don't know how the conference records work right now for the tiebreakers since they split the season series. Going on the road to start the playoffs, I don't think any of us thought that was going to happen, right? I think we all thought they would win this division and at least have a home playoff game. There's still a chance for that, but right now the Jags have the inside track.
Don't sleep on that Titans game with them.
It's a home game.
Yeah, didn't we have a game, though, where they were, if they just won?
Yeah, that's why the Texans won the division in CJ's first year. Now, that's a couple years ago, same quarterback, but different coach. We'll see if it plays out that way. But they would be favored to beat a 2-win football team at home.
Yes.
We can say that at least.
Yeah, they'd be favored. That doesn't mean.
We can do that thing with
goofy stuff happens.
Well, we can do that thing with the Texans, too. Say Jacoby Brissett, who's owned them in his career, has a big day.
Yeah, wins against the Texans.
Five out of his total 20 wins as a starter against the Texans.
That's insane.
I know. That is.
That might be the most win. Well, no,
I think
sure
this game is a little scary, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, Sean and I were trying to do the T.Y. Hilton All-Stars. Like, T.Y. Hilton was a good receiver. We all know. Good receiver outside of the Texans, but a Hall of Famer. Derrick Henry. Probably we kept him off the list because he's a great player, period. But, yeah, he's one of those guys. But guys who tortured us in the city, well, you know, they're fine when they weren't playing the Texans. Like, we were thinking T.Y. certainly, Jacoby Brissett could be the quarterback for that team. And I'm trying to think of anyone else who fits the bill of a guy. George Karlaftis, he's a fine player, but he dominates against the Texans. He's one of those guys.
They don't like him in Kansas. They think he's a huge waste of money in Kansas City.
Well, they must. Well, if he played the Texans 17
fans,
games a year.
The fans think he's a waste of money. They are really, really down on the
They're down
Chiefs.
On everyone.
Yeah.
They don't know what this feels like. They weren't built for this.
Yeah.
Although they should be, because before Mahomes, they had plenty of years where
their
seasons
every fan
ended
base,
in disappointment.
I mean, the Astros do. Every fan base forgets where they came from, or the newcomers don't know what it really feels like. The newcomer fans, we remember what bad Astros was like. We just recently came off of bad Rockets, bad Texans. We're really used to that. That ain't no big deal at all.
Listen, there's a lot of people. You named it the T.Y. Hilton? The T.Y. Hilton team?
Yeah, T.Y. Hilton All-Stars,
All-Stars.
George Karlaftis, T.Y., Jacoby Brissett. Those are our three right now, and we'd have to go through the rest and find some other guys. So let's just say the Jags don't screw it up and they win the division. We're obviously angling for the 5 seed because that means you get to go to Pittsburgh or Baltimore. That's what you want to do in round one.
And they're 7 right now, but you win out.
You beat the Chargers.
12 wins?
Yeah, well, the Jags in line for 13. That's why I said that Broncos game in Denver, very big deal. As far as the division is concerned.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. So who would the Jags, let's see, with the playoff. I mean, we got a little ways to go. But, you know, right now the Texans at 7 would play New England. Oh, yeah. Aqib Talib said they get worked up in New England. No way.
It'd be a Texans game. It'd be 20-17. That's how that game would go.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see this defense against Drake May. I mean, Drake May has been benefiting from a group of five schedule. Yeah, wait, Drake May, till you see this defense. All right. There's a chance that they would play the Jags. They move up past the Bills, and they beat the Chargers. They could get up. That's where you're right. I think you want to go. You want to play. Do you want to play at the Ravens if they win the division?
You would hope for the Steelers, of course. But this Ravens team is flawed. Is Lamar Jackson going to be healthy by that game? Maybe, but we've seen him since he's come back. He has been average passing the football. When you don't have the addition of the running threat, and he's tried to stay in the pocket a little bit more. He got out running a little bit in his last game. He's not played well.
Mm-mm. He's having a bad year.
I just hate that he gets well against but I mean, they just destroyed the Ravens up there. Destroyed them. I mean, I ain't scared of them. I ain't scared of Pittsburgh. Yeah. I ain't scared of the Jags. Who are you scared of?
I think the point you made earlier, even you have the success against the Bills now, as it stands now, you have to go up there, which would be a different.
That would be different.
That'd be different. But there are no quarterbacks or offenses that you fear because of your defense. Of course, your offense is probably eliciting the same response from everyone else. Puh. Well, am I supposed to be afraid of that Texans offense? Yeah. I mean, as long now, can you get to 20 against the Texans defense? That's questionable. But if you do,
ain't a lot doing that.
You're probably going to win the game. I think it's the first of 20 the rest of the way. Playoffs, regular season, whoever gets to 20 first in Texans games wins.
Yep, yep, yep. Okay, score 21 and you're a winner. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's talk a little bit about our good friend Billy Brown over at Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I don't know what your issue is, but if you have an issue, I don't care what it is, make sure that you have 281-488-6238 in your phone. 281-488-6238. Because you never know when you spring a leak, okay, and it's going to be an emergency. Go right to just put Aqueduct, put Billy Brown, put plumbing, put whatever in there so that you know right away. That's because I've had to do that in an emergency situation. Holy crap, we sprung a leak. Boom, call Billy Brown, and he's there. And he's there in a hurry. He's there with a guy that is going to give you a fair and a great. He's not going to charge you just to show up. He's going to give you an estimate of what the whole deal is going to be. And you, my friends, are the ones that benefit from their knowledge and their expertise and how great they are. I'm telling you, Aqueduct Plumbing Company, I never needed a plumber before. But, Lance, you needed them. I needed them. And when you need them, they're awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, make sure that you get your hot water heater cleaned out. Make sure the one that you have is cleaned out. Make sure tankless water heater, those need to be serviced every year. If you haven't done that and it has been serviced a long time, have them come out there. They'll probably clean it out, you know, go two or three cycles on your tankless. But they'll also give you a hot water heater absolutely free, a standard hot water heater, when you have a repiping job done under your home. And if you have an older home and you've never had the pipes redone, or if you don't know, have them come in and take a look for you, because it's just a matter of time, just like for my house, where they're going to corrode and there's going to be a leak and it's going to cause problems. So Aqueduct Plumbing Company wants to be there for you when you have the big problems or the small problems. It's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. We've been talking a lot of Texans. The Rockets were back at it. And Ime Udoka was interviewed yesterday. They were back practicing. Alpi was back out at practice. And after being sick and missing a couple of games, he was out there and working hard. And they got a few days off. They play again on the 11th. Ime was asked where the Rockets are. So what does he think of this team so far? However many games they are in. What, 18 games in? Whatever it is. Whatever, 19 games in. And you're getting to the quarter pole. Where is this team? Are they as good as he thought? Here's Ime on where the Rockets are after the start.
It's good. I think anytime we can kind of recharge and get some practice days in has been good for us. Energy is always good coming out of a break. You're a little hungry to play again. I think you saw it in the Utah game after 3 days.
Just let energy. It roll, Del. It goes but into that.
It's always good to kind of take a dive into what we've done after 21 games and look at some trends and then attack those on the court.
Coach, how would you assess, you know, these first 20 games? I was early in the season, but how would you assess, especially with the integration of KD?
I think we've been good. We want to be great, but I think we've been good overall. You look at the record, 15-6. There's some positives there, but we also feel like we've let some slip away and try to find the areas where we've grown or had some slippage in. And so overall, good, but we're trying to be better than good. And so what we looked at, you know, today was, where we were after the first 10 games and what was happening in the last 11. See some good and bad trends overall, but for the most part, when you're plus minus is where we're at and offensively and defensively where we're at, we're taking some good strides, especially with Kevin being integrated, but we understand there's a whole nother level we get to.
agree or disagree with his assessment of the first 20?
I wouldn't disagree. I thought this entire year would be learning about themselves and who they can be and building the habits they need for the playoffs. Look, there's just a level of talent that they're going to be winning. They're going to win 50-plus games no matter kind of how the season goes, whether they're at a peak or they're not. The way they play, what Rafael Stone has done to put talent on this roster, 50-plus wins was like the floor for them. All I was interested in is seeing what they would be at the end of the year, because we know at this point you acquire Kevin Durant for one reason, to go win a title. I wouldn't disagree with where he's at. You like the highs of Reed Shepard. Of course, when there are moments when he's not on the floor because Ime has decided he can't help you tonight, you hope those become fewer and fewer far in between, where Reed is just a staple. Aaron Holiday is cool, but as far as what the ceiling can be for this team, Reed Shepard needs to be someone that they have no doubts playing 25 to 30 minutes a night for them because of his ability to knock down shots. So we don't think about it too much because of who they are and all the talent, but they lost how many starters from off of last year's team? Three? Fred, Jalen, and Dylan. You take three starters off of a team. Yeah. You got to adjust. And I think so far, look, the Dallas loss.
The Dallas loss was a little.
That's ugly. That's not something you want to happen. But Alpi didn't play. So you can always brush it aside and go, hey, Alperen Şengün didn't play in that game. I think they're fine. Get some consistency. Make sure Tari comes back as healthy as he can be. And then we'll see where they are in February and March heading into April. I don't have any concerns right now about this team. They got the entire rest of the way to set what they're going to be once those playoffs hit.
You know, it's interesting. Tari, I ain't even thinking about Tari, to tell you the truth. I mean, Tari Nixon, Mixon, you know what? I ain't even thinking. Finney Smith.
It's another guy.
And then maybe Fred, too, you're going to add to this mix?
Yeah, you're talking, the Fred thing, I know they've never officially ruled him out, so if it happens, it happens. But you're talking about two rotation players who you either barely had or haven't had. Dorian Finney-Smith was supposed to be part of a rotation, and of course Tari as well. So that's why, 15-6, I'm cool with that. They're going to win 50-plus games.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, they're right on pace. Yeah, they're on pace for more than that, no? What are they, 13-6, 13-4?
Did we say 15-6? What are they? I don't know the official. I think I heard that in the clip. Maybe that's why I'm saying it. But this is a team that's going to continue to build.
Yeah, 15-6.
Yeah, I mean, no issues with them and where they are right now.
Yeah, they're going in. They're closing in on 60 win season.
Yeah.
They're on pace for close to 60. So, right there. They're as good as I thought. You know what? The stumbles, though, against Detroit, the stumble against Dallas.
Detroit's good. The stumble is the Dallas game. Detroit turns out one of the best teams in basketball.
And game two.
Yeah, you lost game two. Yeah, it was early in the year. The Thunder, you lost two of your six losses against two of the top teams in the sport.
Yeah, you also lost to Utah.
Yeah, there is some. Yeah.
You lost to San Antonio.
San Antonio with Wimby. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. You lost on the road at San Antonio in a close game.
Well, it wasn't that close.
Oh, yeah. Ime did say they bullied them. That was concerning when your coach comes out and says that.
That was surprising. Yeah.
But the Rockets had a lead in that one, and then they let it get away as the Spurs fought back and won that game. It's just part of the season. You're going to lose games that you're going to look back on and go, man, I can't believe we lost to them.
Sometimes you tip your hat.
I know. I'm not doing the Biggio thing, but it's 82 games. Gentlemen, this long season.
They get paid to play basketball, too, and sometimes you just tip your hat.
Sometimes you're going to lose a game you don't think you should have lost. It happens.
Yep.
And all that being said, what do you...
That's when you tip your hat.
You don't tip hats in basketball.
You tip your cap.
Yeah, it's cap, and it's not
baseball. You tip your headband.
Nope. Not a lot of guys wear headbands anymore. You just say...
Not on this team.
That's
why we got wins.
Is that what it is?
Headband guys are historically not smart basketball IQ players. Historically, we've gone through this.
You've done this?
Yeah, Josh Smith, Corey Brewer.
Chris Gatling, was he a
Chris Gatling was, yeah, but he's, that's so far back.
Yeah, but
Josh Smith's been a long time out
Josh
of the league,
Smith
too.
Was not a high basketball IQ guy.
Yeah, we got a Kogi. He's a headband guy.
Yeah, no, he kind of breaks the mold a little bit.
Yeah, I don't. You looking at the bad ones? There are some smart headband guys.
Not many.
Historically, I've gone through this before.
Yeah,
it's their light.
Bam Adebayo.
There's a reason they're called headband guys.
Bam Adebayo. He's got an official headband, but he's got a head covering thing on.
Same.
Caruso.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, Caruso's gritty.
Yeah.
Kind of a gym rat.
LeBron, for a long time, wore a headband.
Yeah, he's pretty basketball.
He did it for an obvious reason that he eventually decided to stop. But
I don't understand why a headband, you can't tell that LeBron's losing his hair. And I don't know. And black guys have this incredible advantage of... LeBron's head looks good. He looks good bald.
Mm. Yeah, but as a younger player, he didn't like it.
I mean, Shane Battier doesn't. But
well, he's
that's
got
a
the skinhead
thing.
Yeah,
but most guys are going to. It's like a W.
Sure, but as a
Robert Sala is the poster.
Oh
child.
My! Well, he's not black, but yeah.
As a young man, LeBron had a thing.
I get it. No, I totally get it. But LeBron, come home because he looks good now. He cut it off, and it's like, yeah,
well,
this looks
really,
and
short.
He's got a good beard, and
yeah,
it's a
he's
good
done all
combination
all the things
of hair.
You need to do, but he
and,
did a lot of, he put in a lot of work to try to hold it off.
I know.
Yeah. So did Agassi, and then said, you know what?
Yeah, that's right. Andre Agassi, for people who don't know who that is.
He wore a wig.
And then you had Jaylen Brown right
as
now.
A,
twice,
as an athlete,
he's rubbed his
he
hair off
wig.
On people's jerseys.
Yeah, the Jaylen Brown thing's embarrassing.
Like, that's one that's just, that's it's
LeBron
hard to come
never
back
stooped to that level where he's got hair paint.
And, of course, the worst of all time was
Boozer.
That's right. Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, where the entire thing
was
lacquered
shiny,
on.
It was it was like, just terrible.
Jaylen Brown has enough hair where he's trying to supplement. Yeah. Boozer was, I'm just going to lacquer
I'm
this thing.
I'm hair
paint my
on.
Entire,
I'm just
I'll hairline
paint whole...
everything and see how it goes. Lasted for a day.
Like, I don't get it because you look fine bald. Like, I don't get that.
Hey, man.
If you're a black guy.
It's a real coin flipper for a white guy.
Yeah.
You don't know your head shape. You don't know if you're going to have hot dogs on the back of your neck, on the head. Like, it's a real coin flipper. It's a real, you just don't know.
Why do you think it is? I mean, have we done the study why black men look fine bald and white guys?
I'm going to try it.
It's not
Stop
been
it,
studied.
Wendy,
I don't think
did,
it's been
did
studied.
Did Wendy say you can try it?
No.
All right, then you're not trying it.
I came home once, shaved the whole head.
And what did she say?
She said, grow your hair back.
Yeah, exactly. So we know where you stand.
Yeah.
Lance, you'd like to do research. You need to look into that.
I'm going to look into
why?
That.
Why?
John said he's going to at first.
He's never going to.
I'll look into it, but I'm not really sure.
Why is it a thing?
Because head shape can be random from person to person.
Yeah, but it doesn't really matter with
it really
black,
doesn't.
Black men.
Jeff Green is no different than... LeBron is no different than...
It's all fine. LeBron would tell you he's not officially bald. He's just got the really low
Like I said, it was, you know, it was a problem for Shane Battier.
Because of the Sharpay thing. But if he didn't have it, he'd be fine. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I need you to look into that.
Now, Curry may not look that great with...
Why? Because he's light-skinned?
And maybe that is something. I don't know. Maybe that is something. See, we're starting to figure this out, Del.
Oh, see, now
we're starting now that more, you're helping. We're starting to figure this out now man. That we have a diverse think tank here.
Well, you had AJ
it's a very diverse think tank.
Could have done this.
AJ's
with him.
Not going to get involved in
Probably
this kind
not.
Of stuff.
You're right.
He doesn't want to traverse into these topics.
No, he wants to protect himself for future endeavors. Understood.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame him.
I don't get it.
I cut it down short enough to I've realized. Okay, I'll be okay.
Yeah, you
we
know.
Ask okay. Josh Pate about this.
We do need to.
Does it
tomorrow?
See, the thing is, white guys have to add fitness to the bald head to POK.
Yeah, and probably that's really why I grew this little scruff
the
beard.
Thing?
No, well, I am lifting.
He is losing weight.
And I'm doing this, and I've lost weight because I know if I'm going to cut my hair off, there's like you said.
Yeah.
You have to counterbalance it with something on the bottom of your face. And you know you gotta lose some weight. That's just
the
kind of rule. I think it started with Mr. Clean,
the triumvirate of
Mr. Clean
set a standard that we just can't live up to.
The the triple.
Yeah, women. We're impossible standards for our body and women's bodies. Like, what about Mr. Clean?
That's right. Mr. Clean put it out there
for white guys with bald heads. Like, look at Mr. Clean.
Right.
He has set an impossible standard for your body to live up to. When you combine bald, white, and this.
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
That's tough. That's tough if all three are combined.
You know what though, Michael Chiklis,
but he lost weight.
Lost weight too.
He did lose weight, but he started.
But he had the cul-de-sac thing going on the sides. Yeah, he shaved that off.
That's tough.
What was it? The commish? Was that the show he was on way back?
Commish.
But when he became Vic Mackey, is that what he was?
See, that's the thing. It's tough because you got to go all the way. Now you can have it showing if you look like if you pull a Jason Statham.
Sure, it's stubble. It's stubble, but he's Jason Statham. Jason Alexander.
By the way,
you got Statham and Alexander. Those are the two.
And Alexander
ranges.
Says, and Alexander finally came down lower on the sides.
That's true. Yeah.
But by the way, Jason Statham is like 5'1".
You said he's wee.
Yeah,
wee.
You saw him. Yeah,
he's wee.
It lists him here as 5'11".
Five.
Let me see, Statham height.
Is it Statham or Statham?
Statham.
Okay.
Let me see. They look. Oh my God, he's listed as 5'10".
No way. Zero chance.
And then this other one says, is Jason Statham 5'7"? It says Jason Statham is 5'10". That's what AI says.
No, Jason Statham.
You've seen him.
I've seen him.
I'm looking at him standing.
Here's another question. Oh, no.
He's standing right next to Robert De Niro, and they're the same size.
Robert De Niro ain't no 5'10".
No.
No, they're the same size? You said you've seen him close up, right?
Well, you don't know what shoes they got on, though.
Yeah, De Niro's listed at 5'10" as well.
Oh,
yeah. No way.
It makes sense now. They're both 5'10", John.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
You're 6'6".
You know what else makes sense? H&P. H&P makes sense for your business. Makes sense for everybody's. Makes sense for our business. Make it make sense for yours. Great time for you. Now, it would have been, listen, there's never a bad time, but at end of year, you've got all your numbers from the year, okay? What you're doing, how you're doing it, you can change. Yeah, don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of making your business better. Don't be afraid of going out there and saying, we're going to do something different next year. We're going to try. We're going to, you know what? We're going to be better. And listen, if your business is like you're selling your stuff and yet you're not making the money and you're like, what is going on here? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Your expenses might be too high. H&P can bring that down. Can bring that down. Well, let them at least look at your business. Let them show you where you're losing that money and how you can be better, how you can be more efficient, how you can be better run, all of the things. Your HR and your payroll are so important, but so are your benefits packages and your tax and how you do all of this stuff, your insurance package, everything, all of this stuff. They look at it all, and they're going to come to your business and make it better. They made ours better. We love them. And all of the you hear all the time, all the testimonials by their clients on our air telling you what they do for their business, and they'll do it for you. HRP.net. Let them look at it for nothing. They'll come for free and look at your business. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
If you're an RIA, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at Schwabvious.com.